With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, and welcome to Born Yesterday, a new podcast experiment in which myself and Andy Barr.
Good day.
Have been cloning ourselves.
That is 100% true. No word of a lie there, Alexander. We have been cloning ourselves, and we have given those clones 24 hours in which to familiarise themselves with three things. Why have we done that?
Well, because we want brilliant comedian guests to explain other things to those clones on the basis that those clones only understand three things. They've got to explain other things using those three things.
Once again, you're absolutely on the money there, Alexander. What a wonderful man you are.
Thank you, Andy. I also appreciate your input and your company.
Thanks, cunt.
These three subjects are rugrats,
mold,
and what a wig maker is. Andy, what are your recollections of those colourful characters, the rugrats?
I'll be honest with you, not massive. I remember some of their names.
Tommy Pickles.
Tommy, yep. Dill?
Dill? Yes. Angelica.
Oh, God, yeah. That was Phil and Lil.
Phil and Lil, I think, is who you were thinking of when you said Dill.
Dill. Dill Pickles. And, that's what I was thinking of.
And Chucky, I think the other one was
Chucky.
Called.
Yeah. Yeah. And they had
the nervous one.
And they had a sort of scrotty-looking dad, one of them.
All the parents look scrotty looking,
yeah.
And it's something of a meme that goes around online. But you and I are now both older than the characters in the Rugrats who are the parents.
Oh dear!
Yes,
let's not focus on that.
Upsetting, isn't it?
It is. Yeah.
Homer Simpson's only meant to be like 38 or something.
Yeah, Ren and Stimpy would be dead by now.
Well, Ren and Stimpy care nothing for age. There's a quick look at the Wikipedia of the creator reveal.
You always bring this up. I can't say that I enjoyed Ren and Stimpy when I was young without you bringing up John Kay's...
I love Ren and Stimpy.
Yeah.
I think they're great. With the Rugrats, I believe, they did a... You know how you get the Muppets and then you try and franchise it out and you do Muppet Babies?
Or did they do Rugrats Adults?
Yeah. You remember how the premise of this is that they're all kids? Well, imagine them not... Yeah. Imagine that they're all teenagers now, but because we need continuity in sort of the dynamics of the show, none of their personalities have really developed.
No.
So you've got characters who have the same personality that they did then they were one, and they're now 15, which is played out in real life would be a stark and harrowing drama about people stuck in severe arrested development.
Yeah, they'd be in an institute of some sort, I think.
An institute for rugrats.
Yeah.
Do you recall any of the other highly inventive Nickelodeon cartoons?
I'm not entirely sure what was Nick and what wasn't.
Well, Ed and Eddie.
That was the one I was thinking of. So yeah. Yes, I do recall that.
SpongeBob.
Yeah.
Courage the Cowardly Dog.
I do remember Courage the Cowardly Dog. Remember that?
I was an enormous fan of.
Me too.
And Invader Zim, which I was also an enormous fan of.
Nah, I never saw it.
Genuinely really funny.
Was it?
Yeah, it was sort of hijacked a bit by sort of tedious goth tweens in the States, I believe.
Right, okay.
I believe that Invader Zim in the United States is one of those things where if you say you like it, people kind of mark you out. Well, I'm British. We don't have the same sort of association.
I think with Yank cartoons generally get hijacked either by tedious goth tweens or by Nazis, so I think it's probably the better of the two.
The way I look down on anyone who tells me that they're really into Family Guy. It's like a it's like an instant red flag on someone's personality.
Yeah.
And I'm sure the people who work on Family Guy are very nice. You're looking
at... Are you sure of that?
I think McFarlane is sort of...
It's just a job, isn't it?
Reported to be quite a nice bloke.
Is he? Avoided 9/11?
He did avoid 9/11.
Obviously. Do you know what? Seth MacFarlane was the only guy to survive getting on one of those planes. It was absolutely mad.
The firefighters were there, and one man emerged from the rubble, just muttering to himself, "What if a dog could talk and lived with a family?"
Yeah, well, yeah, but before that, he'd, like, just one fist broke through the.
Yeah, and he did a sort of Peter Griffin said, voice.
Yeah, imagine if the baby was like a murderer or something.
Yeah.
Mm. He never thought like that before.
What if their neighbour was disabled?
Oh, God, yeah.
Mm.
Forgot about that.
Do you think there's an alternative universe where Seth MacFarlane did die in 9/11? But the Family Guy... Is Family Guy a constant in the sort of... Someone else...
Someone has to make
Family Guy.
Yeah.
So if Seth MacFarlane dies in 9/11... Someone else makes it. You enjoyed Courage the Cowardly Dog.
I did.
Sort of not a subject we can use on this show because it's sort of too specific, but a great children's TV show.
Yeah. This dog lives with some old people in a sort of weird, slightly hellish moonscape kind of environment. Absolutely. And there's an aubergine there that's horrible.
Yeah. Every single episode of Courage the Cowardly Dog is the sentence you just said, and there's a bat there who's horrible.
Yeah, I'm sure
there's a sexy woman there who's horrible.
I'm sure
there's a devil there who's horrible.
I am sure I remember the aubergine being a recurring character, or was it just in one episode?
No, I don't think it was.
Right, okay, because I don't remember anything well enough that I won't be completely blown off course by you recollecting something slightly different.
There's an episode of Courage the Cowardly Dog, the children's TV show, which is entirely about someone who's got one of those shaving fetishes.
I wasn't even familiar with that as a concept.
Some people are into people being shaved, Andy.
Right, like shaved in, like just a...
Just the act of shaving. Not having been shaved, the act of shaving.
Yeah, 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 but just like if you go to the barbers and get a wet shave or elsewhere.
I think it doesn't really matter what part of the body is being
just
shaved.
As long as something is being shaved, they're happy.
And the boffins at Nickelodeon decided that this would be a good plot point for a children's cartoon.
The boffins at Nickelodeon decided a lot of, fairly questionable stuff back in the time. But it panned out a lot of the time, didn't it?
The boffins at Nickelodeon. close the door on the Ren and Stimpy studio and go, well, that all appears to be in order. Mm. Let's pop down to Courage the Cowardly Dog. What you writing, boys? Well, we got a cracking episode about one of those shaving fetishes. Good stuff.
We're perfectly fine. Let's go and see what the Ed and Eddie are up to.
Eddie, we're working on an episode about daddy-daughter relationships. Fair enough. I'll go and see. I'll pop by Amanda Bynes' studio and see what's going on.
SpongeBob's doing a Lolita parody. Great. Fine. That's this weekend's programming sorted.
Do you remember the episode of the Fairly Odd Parents about piss playing? Where Timmy wishes to be pissed on. Mold, Andy. I know someone. I met someone the other day. I've got a routine in my new show about renting, and someone
little tasty little nugget there for the audience.
9 o'clock, Gilded Balloon at the Patter House this year's Edinburgh Fringe. They genuinely got a note from their landlord saying that the condensation was caused by excess breathing.
Fucking hell! Fucking hell!
Have you ever eaten any mouldy food? Have you ever had any mouldy cheese, any of that?
No, I don't. I don't eat cheese, really.
No. You said that very quickly, Andy.
Well, I don't. Other than, you know, I wouldn't have cheese that is not melted in any way. I'm not eating fucking hard bits of cold cheese, because that's not something that I like.
Yeah,
not something I like thinking about.
It's not something you like being asked about.
No.
So you like your cheese to have a level of viscosity?
Yeah, it just and not much flavour. I don't think not the flavour of cheese. I don't like cheese.
Your anti-cheese flavour.
Yeah.
I didn't eat cheese for a very long time because that repetition thing of up until I was about 10, I was given a cheese sandwich every day of my life.
Yeah.
And then at a certain stage, threw down the gauntlet to my mother and said, no
enough
more.
Enough is enough. Yeah.
I'm full of this shit.
Change the record, mother.
And I didn't eat cheese for a very long time after that.
That's crazy, man. What got you back into it?
Just had some cheese.
Enough is enough in the opposite direction again now.
Yeah, basically.
It's time.
I think I bought a baby Bella when I was 19 and thought, you know what? This is where it's at.
I've returned to the fold. The prodigal son.
Yeah. A lot of people who lose their faith come back to it. What's the religious equivalent of just finding a baby Bella in a shop if you've lost your faith?
Near Seth MacFarlane not getting on the plane. I don't know if he became a Christian after that. Probably not.
No, he didn't.
Given the content of the programmes. But, you know.
That would be a weird element of Family Guy if just every episode, like, it ends like Peter Griffin is like dressed as someone from Kiss shitting on a child's face, and then it fades to black and says love in our hearts from you to Jesus Christ.
No, Stewie just says Jesus is Lord at the end of every year.
Just turns to the camera and says, and of course worship the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Wigs, Andy.
Yep. Yeah, wigs. Somebody's got to make them, and that would be a wig maker. This week's third thing.
Certainly
looking, would be. Looking forward to finding out what fun nuggets the guests can wring from this one.
What's the worst wig you've ever seen, Andy?
Michael Fabricant's wig does. Is that a wig? It must be, surely.
It's one of those things where it's sort of, you know, things like are so obvious they must actually be true.
Mm.
Like, it so obviously looks like a wig, I've got a horrible feeling it's his real hair.
Mm. There was a guy at work who didn't have a great deal of hair, went off for 2 weeks, came back, had a full, very luscious head of hair, and just kind of denied that it was a wig.
Yeah.
But then it went away again after,
after
a fair bit of stick from
yes.
Anyone.
I had a sudden bout of hair.
Yes. Well, yeah. I had a bit of a dicky tummy for a while when I came back.
I've had a hairy weekend.
Yeah.
Myself and Andy are both men who have feared losing our hair.
It's true.
I wouldn't wear a wig.
No, I don't.
Although you can get those very sophisticated ones that sort of weave into your hair and they stay there for like 6 months at a time or something like
that. Right. You'd constantly be in fear of the period when it's just going to, you know, start coming away at the edges, I think.
Yeah.
But if anyone out there is a wig wearer, plenty of legitimate reasons for wig wearing.
Absolutely.
We're perfectly on side.
We're pro-wig, is that the thing that we're saying?
I think that's the position that I'm forcing us into here.
Okay.
In context.
That's
context dependent.
I'm happy to...
The context of myself? Nah.
Yeah, yeah. But there might be all sorts of, you know, medical reasons and et cetera that someone will wear a wig.
Yeah.
You can get wigs for dogs now.
Can you?
Yeah. Give them a little haircut.
Yeah, dogs that go sort of just bald, just on their top of their bonnets.
No, you can give them like a mohawk or something.
Right.
For a bit of fun.
I don't know why I immediately jumped to, well, they might have gone bald and they're embarrassed about it.
You may or may not have heard a distant cat.
He's been going off for some time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all right. Yeah, that's something that we're introducing into the lore of this this show, is that the experimental chamber, and I'll say no more than that, that all of this takes place in. There's
couple of cats.
Yeah, there's cats knocking around. Yeah. Because Andy has cats, and you might just hear them.
Yeah, they like to hang out outside the door and plaintively meow.
Yeah, that's their vibe. Would you ever wear a merkin?
No.
Do you think it's possible that the wigs for dogs are just reused merkins?
It's certainly possible. I mean, what level of... The purpose of a merkin, I don't really understand. Do you lose?
Pubic wig.
Well, I know that's what it is, but do you lose hair down there, or do you desire a specific style of pubic hair? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't really know what it's for either. Do they make any? I know they make period pornography films.
Right. So you think that
for historical realism, they're trying to get the right hairstyles.
Well, I suppose you could do a little sort of chest hair then as well.
Yeah.
Particularly hirsute fella. Although maybe you could just get a particularly hirsute fella, I don't know.
I think that would probably turn people off. If they're watching historical pornography because that's what they're into, and then everyone's, you know, bare like a Christmas turkey.
Who are these smooth fuckers? This isn't what I came here for. I came here for grainy, hairy fucking. What is this?
I came here to watch people in impossibly warm outfits with terrible dental hygiene fuck miserably in a sort of mass of hair and mud.
This is an outrage.
I'm taking this CD-ROM back to the shop. Now, listen here, fellow. I bought these mini discs from you in good faith. I wanted to see some of the most.
These people look deodorized. What the hell is this?
I put on Henry the 8 inches, and every single woman in it had clearly washed. I want my money back. Our two fantastic guests this episode are Abaglar Shimon and John Robertson. Please like, subscribe, and review the podcast on whatever podcast medium you're listening to us through. That would really help us out.
Absolutely. Currently rocking at 15 five-star ratings on Spotify, and only one of them is me.
Yes. And we've got some lovely iTunes reviews
as well.
We have
got some lovely iTunes reviews. Yeah.
And keep sending us fan art. Any subjects that you want us to put to people, email us with those. And just spread the word, folks.
Please.
Shall we listen to the episode?
Yes, please.
Oh, 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 oh. Hi, I'm Abigailia, and here are the things I'd like to plug. A plug is a thing. No. So you can follow me on all social media platforms, at Abigailia. I'm going to start releasing my comedy specials on YouTube, so please follow me there. And I have a podcast called Neurodivergent Moments that I co-host with Joe Wells that is far less insufferable than this.
I'm John Robertson. You can find me, pretty much everywhere at Robotron, R-O-B-B-O-T-R-O-N, thejohnrobertson.com. Come see my show, The Dark Room, the world's only live-action video game, out on tour, or catch me on Twitch, Twitch channel Robotron.
John Robertson.
Yes.
And Abigailia Shimon.
Yeah.
Thank you very much indeed for agreeing to explain a few things to us today.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
No problem. We're happy to be here.
Several problems I don't wish to be here.
Okay. Well, we're pleased that you are.
Yeah.
You don't know what being pleased is. You've been alive a day. You don't have any real emotions.
That's very true.
Yeah. Do you guys know your clones? Do you know that?
We do know. Yes. We're clones of Andy Barr and Alexander Penich.
Yeah, but who are they?
We don't really know.
No. You don't really know who they are?
No.
I'll tell you something. I know those guys. They don't know either.
Okay. Well, it's nice to start in a similar position to them. Myself and Andy, being alive, have been alive for 24 hours.
They've been alive 24 hours and there already has been. Do you like that?
We've learnt about three things.
Okay.
The first thing that we know about is we've seen Rugrats.
Great.
We are familiar with mold.
Mm. All types?
Most.
And we know what a wig maker is.
Okay.
Rugrats, mold, a wig maker.
Mm-hmm.
Abigailia.
Yeah.
In 1 minute, could you please explain to both of us, because we've seen the Rugrats, and we would like to know about more people.
Uh-huh.
In 1 minute, could you please explain to myself and Andy who Salvador Dali is? Your time starts now.
Okay, you know how in Rugrats, sometimes the kids do arts and crafts, and they'll, like, paint and stuff?
Yes.
Salvador Dali does that, but it's more like nightmares and dreams.
What a nightmare.
Good question. So, you know black mold?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. That's the nightmare of any person living in a rental flat in London.
So Salvador Dali is someone who makes finger paintings of black mold.
No, he's more of someone who... Okay, so his most famous painting is something about time, but it's a lot of melted clocks. So you know wig makers?
What's a clock?
Yeah, exactly. You know what a wig maker is?
I do, yes.
Yeah, you know how sometimes a wig maker will be like, hey, I needed to make this wig by Tuesday?
That is a thing they do sometimes, yes.
Or they'll be like, hey, my wig shop is only open till 4.
Two.
That's how they know.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Abigailia. Very much appreciate that information.
Thanks.
In a minute there, you've told us that Salvador Dali is someone who does finger paintings of black mold.
And time.
And time and clocks are how a wig maker knows when to make a wig.
Yeah.
I couldn't be more confident with that answer.
Thank you. We're glad. We're very pleased that you...
It's all very helpful.
Thank you.
John, in 1 minute...
Yes, clone Alex.
Could you...
That's clone Andy.
How do you know that? You've only been alive a day. It's a little early to have identity issues, isn't it?
I know that I'm a clone of Alexander Bennett.
Shut up, clone Andy.
In 1 minute, could you please explain to us who Daft Punk are?
Time starts now.
So, you know when an episode of The Rugrats begins and you can hear that music? Right? That one.
Yeah.
That, faster, but you can dance to it, is the music of a band called Daft Punk. And Daft Punk is a duo, much like you two. There's the two of you. But imagine if you had no identities whatsoever... And we're wearing helmets.
So we're sort of a blank version of ourselves, but not ourselves.
That's right. A blank version of yourselves, but not yourselves.
With a helmet
on. But people enjoy listening to it.
What defines who we are?
What defines who we are? In the case of Daft Punk, several million album sales defines who they are. Other than that, they have no identity.
But if Daft Punk are like us, but not like us, so that
no, there's no one who's not like, who doesn't like Daft Punk. Everyone likes Daft Punk.
Thank you.
Sound of the summer.
Time is up.
There you go, Limmy.
Andy, would you like to explain what John's just said there?
I'll have a crack. Daft Punk are a duo who make music, which is something that you hear at the start of the Rugrats, but they make it slightly faster and they have helmets on. Also, they are nondescript.
Yeah. They are without personality.
Yeah.
I mean, that could be the Wikipedia. Isn't
Thank you, John.
That's about right.
That sounds good.
Abigailiah.
Oh, dear. Myself and Andy are keen to learn about more places.
Okay.
We have only existed in this space. Abigailiah, in 2 minutes.
2 minutes. Oh, it gets longer.
Bearing in mind what we know, could you please explain to us what the Playboy Mansion is? Your time starts now.
Okay, you know how Daft Punk is nondescript?
They are without personality.
Without personality.
But with helmets.
But with helmets. So are a lot of people who live and go to the Playboy Mansion.
So it's full of Daft Punk. what speed did they play the Rugrats theme tune in the Playboy Mansion?
Oh, they play it very fast and vigorously, I think we would find. The Playboy Mansion is where people of a great financial stature, like Daft Punk, will go and hang out and party. And it used to be...
What's a party?
A party is when several people get together and all hang out with beverages and ask each other questions like, how are you? And they try to one-up each other.
The one-up each other. What does one-up
each other
mean?
Means like, okay, you know how Daft Punk is nondescript?
They have no personality.
But Salvador Dali draws pictures of black mold.
Yes.
Salvador Dali is doing more for the world than Daft Punk. And Daft Punk wants to make themselves sound interesting. That's why they wear helmets.
So there's... So drawing pictures of black mold is a more worthwhile pastime than making the Rugrats theme tune fast.
Yes, and both could be seen at one point hanging out in the Playboy Mansion that was once owned by a man named Hugh Hefner.
What was he like?
Well, questionable, I think we'll find. By the time
what sort of questions?
He was an aged man who was in deep need of a wig maker who wore a dressing gown 24/7.
What's a dressing gown?
A dressing gown is a garment that people wear right before bed.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. In 2 minutes, Abigail, you've explained to us that the Playboy Mansion is a place in which Daft Punks and a Salvador Dali try to one-up each other.
At a party.
At a party.
In the company of a man who's getting ready to go to bed.
You freaking nailed it. Did I.
Great.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Thank
I'm
you,
quite
Abigail.
Proud of that.
I only just realized that's why Hugh Hefner was wearing the dressing gown. That makes so much sense. He's about to go
He's
to bed.
He's always about to go to bed.
Of course.
He's always about to go to bed.
With those women.
With those women.
Those naked women.
Why get dressed when you party in your own house and you're about to have sex?
It never occurred to me.
Neither did I. You know what? We've all learned something today.
But that's good.
If he's always about to go to bed, then that means that he never does go to bed.
That's true.
That is true.
That's why he dies. So
there's, there's always a part.
Tragically young.
On the precipice of bed.
The full body edging on the precipice of bed.
That's the name of my memoir, by the way, people.
The precipice of bed.
Don't know what any of that means. Andy, could you present the next topic to John, please?
Absolutely. John, in 2 minutes, could you please tell us what or where a courtroom is?
Your time starts now.
If you go to any crap town in England and you go to any comedy club...
What's England?
England is an idea. And that idea was, what if there was a wet, mouldy, unpleasant place that was slightly north of where the Scots are? And that's what England is. England is north of the Scots?
Yes.
Oh, did I say that?
Yes.
You know what north is, do you? Picked up something else, did you, in your day? Fuck, it's been busy, hasn't it?
What is
Do you
north?
All just live for 24 hours as well?
I was just repeating the information so I could understand
it. No, it sounded remarkably like I was being corrected. Perhaps it was this sort of tone of voice. Learn some manners in your fucking one day on earth.
What are manners?
What are manners?
What are manners is something that are not present in this conversation, gentlemen, ladies.
What's gentleman?
Gentleman is an idea, and it's
used... Is it like England?
Very much. In fact, a word from
Where is
England,
it in relation to the Scots?
Where is it in relation to the Scots? It's never used in relation to the Scots. It's a thing that English people say to each other to pretend that they're in any way being friendly.
Okay. What is a courtroom?
A courtroom is a place that English people go to when they're not being gentlemen.
Okay, and what behaviours would mark out a gentleman and what behaviours would mark out a not gentleman?
Money marks out a gentleman, and the absence of money marks out a non-gentleman.
So Daft Punk are gentlemen.
Daft Punk are very much gentlemen.
100%.
If they are men, they are gentle, they are nondescript, and they have money, which is the defining factor you'll need.
Mm.
Gentlemen.
And the opposite of a gentleman is?
A lout.
A lout. And what qualities define a lout?
The absence of money and a love of football.
What's football?
Football is a thing that you watch before you beat your wife.
Oh!
Okay. And in 3 seconds, what's beating your wife?
It's why you go to court.
Thank you, John. Lots of information there. Yeah. Andy, would you like to sum that up?
Please do.
Well, what I'm given to understand is that a courtroom is a place that somebody with no money goes after they have beaten their wife.
That is 100% correct.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yet again,
Thank
we
you,
nailed
John.
It.
We're really going well. I'm so sorry I tried to attack the clones. I saw that film once.
It didn't end well, did it?
No, or begin well.
We're just trying to find out information. That's
No, that's fine. That's okay. That's a very frightening thing to hear anyone say. Just trying to find out information.
That's what the police say before they take you to court for beating
your
wife.
In one sentence, what are the police?
The police are the bad guys.
So they're louts.
Louts, yeah. They are. Yes, they are louts.
That's worth knowing. Thank you, Abigail.
Yep.
So much.
One area of humanity that we're particularly interested in is creativity and the arts.
Art.
Mm. Abigailia, in 3 minutes...
Great.
I would like you to explain to me what Angry Birds is. Your time starts now.
Angry Birds is... Okay, so a bird is a feathered animal that flies.
What are animals?
Animals are... You know those things that are meowing outside the door because they can't come?
No, we don't.
No, you don't. Let me try that again. Animals are non-human, but have eyes and a mouth.
Okay.
Like a human, but they're not human. They're non-human creatures.
Daft Punk,
with eyes and
Daft
a mouth.
Punk are wearing helmets, so they don't... Do they have eyes and a mouth underneath?
Underneath the helmets, presumably, but maybe they're just cats standing on their eye legs.
If Daft Punk were to remove their helmets and they don't have eyes and a mouth, that doesn't mean that they're humans or animals, so what are they?
They're probably angry birds, to be quite frank.
So a bird is a... It's an animal.
It's a non-human...
Yeah, so it's a non-human creature.
What does a bird's mouth look like?
Well, it's hard and usually
hard
yellow.
Mouth.
It protrudes slightly and it's more of a triangle and it clicks together. It's like a plastic triangle that clicks together.
Okay.
And so these birds, angry, is, let's see, it's the opposite of, well, you know how John's been talking to you this entire podcast?
Yes.
That's angry.
okay. It's sort of staring
loud.
Loud. Yes.
Yeah, loud's part of it.
Okay.
Harsh tone, if you suggest that you're correcting him about where the Scots might be in relation to the England. Yes. That sort of tone is angry.
Okay. So it's a bird like John.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And is that all Angry Birds is? Is it a collection of them?
Well, from what I know, there's a collection of them, and they go into a slingshot and get fired away.
What's a slingshot?
Is that why they're angry?
Presumably.
Two quick questions. What's a slingshot?
Mm-hmm. So a slingshot is... how do I take this in relation to things you know? You know what a wig is?
Yes.
Yeah. That's like, imagine a wig with just one hair.
No.
That's what a slingshot is.
I don't wish to position myself as being in any level of expertise, but a wig that is just one hair.
That's just a hair.
But, well, if you say so, but you've only been alive for 24 hours, trust me on this.
That's true.
Trust me on this.
Okay.
So any one hair is a wig.
So
a slingshot.
So any, like...
Your time's up. Thank you, Abigail. Thank you very much for that information.
Any one hair is a wig.
In 3 minutes, you've explained to us that Angry Birds is a situation in which one hair is used to fire Angry Birds into a pig, whatever that is.
Yeah.
And a Angry Bird is a non-human like John, who instead of a mouth has a clicking triangle.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And Hugh Hefner is always a man about to go to bed.
The precipice of being.
We're learning so much.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
John.
Yes.
Please could you explain to us in 3 minutes what ABBA Voyage is?
Your time starts now.
All right. So, you know the Rugrats?
Yes.
Right. And you know the parents in the Rugrats?
Mm. Yes.
And how they're much older than the children.
Mm.
They're longer and they're sad.
Longer and sad.
Yes.
Now, long and sad refers to the career of the band ABBA. Now, ABBA, I want you to imagine, you know how in Daft Punk there's two of them and they don't have faces?
And they're wearing helmets.
That's right. In ABBA, there are four of them, but there are no helmets and there are human faces. Two of which, I don't want to scare you, but they're there.
Right.
Human faces, two of which, very nice to look at.
Oh, okay.
And the other two, not so nice to look at. And it's from those other two that all the music comes.
We know about music. What speed do the ABBA play the Rugrats theme tune at?
They play it at the sort of music where the only clicking you would hear would be the hips of the people dancing to it.
Yeah. What are hips?
Hips, well, they're right at the top of your leg. Just near the bum, I believe technically that's the name. And it's part of the, it's just above the bit where your leg slots in.
Okay, that's your, it's the bit where your...
Yeah, that's right. And back when ABBA was successful, to be in any way popular was to be referred to as to be hip. Almost as though they were predicting the replacements that their fandom would have to have a mere 30 years later.
So when you were referring to someone's popularity, you would say, oh, that's like the top of someone's leg.
That is very astute, Andy. That's exactly what you would do.
Alexander. when were ABBA popular?
ABBA were never popular. ABBA are an idea. An idea like England.
Right.
Which was also never popular, but God, there was a lot of it for a while.
And what is ABBA Voyage?
ABBA Voyage is what happens when you presume that every member of your band is dead when they are not dead and replace them instead with holograms.
What is dead?
Dead is what you two will be if I'm questioned again about anything.
If you get angry.
No, I've never known angry. This is just an accent.
What is an accent?
What is an accent? An accent is what I have instead of a persona. I didn't have this accent before I moved here. Very nice middle class boy. It's ridiculous. I sounded like Barry Humphries. Now, anyway, gentlemen, I'll tell you through. There we go.
It Daft Punk also don't have a persona. What accent do you think that they should have?
They should speak in binary code.
What's binary code?
Binary code is a series of ones and zeros, such as has never been seen in my bank account, but there's plenty of them in the bank account of ABBA.
Who are also wealthy.
That's exactly right, because they were at one point hip.
Right. Would they be seen at the Playboy Mansion?
They would own the Playboy Mansion.
But I thought the Bedman...
No, he was just a sad itinerant vagabond who just wander around drooling.
Thank you.
No worries. He can't sue. He's dead.
Yeah, we're good.
Thank you, John. No worries, Andy, at all. Would you like to sum up what information John has just given us there? as to what ABBA Voyage is.
Yeah, we never get to Voyage, did we?
ABBA Voyage is something which has happened because people have presumed the four members of ABBA to be dead.
Whatever that is.
Yeah.
And they used to own the Playboy Mansion.
They used to own the Playboy Mansion. Two of them are ranked to look at and two of them are good.
Perhaps they should wear helmets.
But the two that were bad to look at were the ones who made all the Rugrats songs.
Excellent. Thank you, John. We appreciate that.
This is the best podcast.
Myself and Andy have only been alive for a day. We are aware that things have happened before myself and Andy. Abigail, in 3 minutes, I would like to explain to me what happened when St. Patrick drove all the snakes from Ireland. Your 3 minutes start now.
Okay. So, here's the thing. So if you know, how a wig, if it has one hair, it's a slingshot?
Yes.
Well, if one hair moves, it's a snake. And
so it's a sort of...
Ireland was overrun by several snakes, which are like moving hairs, but they're thicker. They're thicker than
a hair. Right.
Yeah. They're thicker than human hair.
Which wig maker made all the snakes?
See, you don't make snakes. Snakes just exist from the beginning of time. They were in the garden.
What garden?
Of Eden.
What's the Garden of Eden?
So there's like this book, kind of like... like Harry Potter, but it got like way out of control and everyone's like,
what's Harry Potter?
Harry Potter is a wizard that was invented by a woman who hates women. And that's all I'll say about that.
Would she be seen in court for, you know?
sadly, she's rich, so she will not be seen.
So she's a gentleman.
She is a gentleman. Often she is seen on Twitter.
Interesting.
But anyways, so...
It's sort of a rough idea what a book is, because we've seen the Rugrats read books.
Cool. So, like, all of these snakes, which are, like, thick hairs, are slithering around Ireland. In St. Patrick's...
What is Ireland?
Ireland... Ireland is bitter. It's an idea.
Is an idea like England?
Well, definitely not like England. I want that on the record, that Ireland is in no way like England. It should never be compared to England in any way.
Could you compare it now for the purposes of this?
Okay, Ireland's is like England's many enemies, but England doesn't see Ireland as an enemy because England thinks it owns Ireland.
Like ABBA own the Playboy Mansion?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Who is the Hugh Hefner of Ireland?
Oh, that would be St. Patrick himself, because what he did was he had a robe on because he was about to go to bed. And
he saw the snakes.
Yeah, and he saw the snakes, and he got a little flute.
What's a flute?
A flute is like, you know, the music in Rugrats? Mm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yes. Exactly. Imagine that played through like a stick with a hole in it.
Thank you. Yeah. Your time is
Thank
up.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Abigail. In 3 minutes there, you've explained that what happened when St. Patrick drove all the snakes from Ireland is that Ireland is a country that is
it's an idea.
It's an idea. that is not like England in any way.
And, definitely not.
But contained within that idea was a sort of Hugh Hefner figure who, before he went to bed, he played the Rugrats theme tune through a stick with a hole in it to a load of hairs. Thick hairs. A
load of thick hairs.
Thank you, Abigail.
We don't know what happened. John.
Yes.
In 3 minutes, please could you explain to us the Cuban Missile Crisis?
Your time starts now.
A long time ago, there was a country called America. America is like England,
right?
But would be offended by the comparison, and England should be happy it's been mentioned. America has a lot of space and a lot of food, and they get very excited by the concept of the freedom that they have, right?
So the humans in America like the fact that there's lots of space.
They love that there's a lot of space to the point that they've tried to colonize space, as in with the moon and things like that.
What's the moon?
The moon is a suburb of America that's orbiting this country.
Okay.
That's right, this country. That's what I said instead of planet. That's how American I am.
So it's a bit of America that moves around where we are now.
It does. Yeah. That's exactly right. And, you know, in years gone by, you'd have been put to death for noticing that the moon rotates around
what
the planet.
What is death? We tried to
Death is the... It's when everyone stops moving forever.
So it's just when things are still.
It's like a game of tag, freeze tag. That's right.
So when everyone stops moving forever, so it does need to be a simultaneous cessation of movement.
Yeah, but unfortunately, everyone does it one at a time, usually, depending on the circumstance. Mm. Unless you go to America and visit any school, then a whole bunch of people do it immediately. Just, you know, right on there. There we go. Not even a joke, just a statement of sad fact.
And what is freedom?
God, that's a great question. And freedom is what the Americans were fighting for when their very handsome president, John F. Kennedy, decided that the thing to do would be to go and get some missiles out of Cuba.
Okay, a series of questions here.
Yes.
If you could answer them very quickly.
Certainly.
What's a president?
The leader of a country.
Okay. It's in charge of all the people.
In charge of all of the people who love the freedom.
Who love the freedom.
That's right.
What's a missile?
A missile is what you fire at the freedom-loving people to have them explode, or you fire at people who don't love freedom to bring democracy to their country.
Is it like an angry bird?
Very much like an angry bird.
So the people that John F. Kennedy was firing the missiles at, you would describe them as pigs.
Well, there was a bay of them.
More about my own country in these few minutes than I've ever learned in school.
And
well, we've heard some things about school.
And why did John F. Kennedy do this?
John F. Kennedy did this because there was another country called Russia, another very large, wide country where the people didn't love freedom, and they gave those missiles to Cuba so the people of Cuba could fire the missiles at America, ending freedom. And then he fucked Marilyn Monroe.
Thank you, John.
Thanks for time so much.
They don't need to know who Marilyn Monroe is. They already know.
Yeah.
They're born knowing that.
We don't know who Marilyn Monroe is. Would you care to explain very briefly who Marilyn Monroe is?
Oh, absolutely. Well, she's the reason Hugh Hefner was always wearing that dressing gown.
Okay. She made him tired. Andy, would you like...
And the president. She made John F. Kennedy
would you like to,
very tired.
Would you like to sum up all that John's told us there about the Cuban Missile Crisis?
Absolutely. So the Cuban Missile Crisis was an event that occurred when John F. Kennedy, the tired president of America, which is a country which loves freedom and hates schools, decided that the pigs in Cuba, who had been given missiles by the Russians, needed to have those missiles taken away from them.
Thank you, John.
You're very welcome.
Appreciate that information very much.
John Robertson does not advocate calling the people of Cuba pigs. Yeah. That was a strictly Alexander Bennett position.
You know my name now. There's so many things to learn about.
Yeah.
Yes, there are.
Offer some more to you. In 2 minutes, Abigail.
Oh, we're going down in time again.
Could you please explain to both of us what Monster Munch is? Your time starts now.
Okay, so England is an idea. And England is an idea
seems
that
like
has an idea about crisps. And Monster Munch, it's less of an idea. It's more of a concept. It is a... it comes in a bag that makes too much noise if you try to open it in a movie theater. And
Munch comes in a noisy bag.
It comes in a noisy bag. Mm. It comes in a noisy bag, and you open it, and there are food bits in the bag.
Food bits.
Food bits, okay. In the bag, and they are salty. And you put them in your mouth, and some people go, that's good, and put lots of them in their mouth, claiming that it's the best food in a bag that is loud ever.
What people would claim this?
The English.
Right.
Who live in England, which is an idea. And Monster Munch is a concept.
What does monster mean?
Monster is like, okay, so you know in the Rugrats how Tommy is really scared of Angelica.
Mm.
Because Angelica's like kind of big
she's,
and scared.
She's angry like
yeah,
John.
Yeah, she's angry like John. Mm. Now, if you take Angelica and...
Where'd you
like,
take
she
her?
Could be... She could She could be considered a monster right there, but if you take Angelica and you cover her in hair from a wig and make her much, much bigger, as big as Daft Punk, she would be a monster.
So it's sort of
mixing the scales of bigness here. Right?
Young person covered in hair but made bigger.
Yeah.
And that's a monster.
Yeah, or like a creature.
What's the relationship like between that and the food bits?
Well, here's the thing. If you are...
Thank you. So, in 2 minutes, you've explained to us that Monster Munch are some salty food bits that you get out of a noisy bag that's named after a giant child covered in hair.
Yeah.
I think I nailed it.
Yeah.
Thank you. Happy
you're
welcome.
Flavor.
Yeah.
Thank
you. And the English think they're good.
John.
Yeah, mate.
John.
Yes.
In 2 minutes, please, could you explain to us the theory of evolution?
Your time starts now.
So you know how you guys were born today?
Yesterday.
Yesterday, was it?
Yes, 24 hours ago.
Oh, 24 hours ago. Mm. How long is the life cycle?
We don't know. What is a life cycle?
Well, according to Elton John, it's the day we arrive on this planet and blinking stare into the sun. Sun rolling high, sapphire sky.
Who's Elton John?
He's a man reaching the end of his life cycle. yeah, the theory of evolution is that, you guys are clones.
Is the end of your life cycle when everyone becomes still?
Yes, that is when everyone becomes still. Although stillness can also be achieved by boredom, which is a thing that happens when people go to see Elton John sing or do anything.
Okay, they don't like his version of the Rugrats theme tune.
No one really likes his. He's a very much a poor man's ABBA, is Elton John.
A lout.
A lout, okay, a lout. Real lout. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
A lout.
The most important thing to remember is the football hooligan-like nature of Elton John.
A lout.
Well, yeah, well, let's put it this way. In terms of evolution, a lout, right, is close to the cousin of humanity. Now, you guys are clones of humans, Homo sapiens, walk bipedally. And millions and millions of years ago, we were all fish or slugs. And then, after millions of years, based upon the needs of those fish or slugs, we changed into the forms that we had now.
What would a slug need to become?
A slug mostly needs not to be a slug, usually.
What's a slug?
A slug is a snail without a home.
Is it like Daft Punk without helmets?
Exactly right. In fact, if you were to remove the helmets of Daft Punk, you would just see slugs staring back at you.
Okay, so slugs are helmetless Daft Punks.
Exactly right. Helmetless Daft Punks are slugs.
And we used to be that.
You used to be that millions of years ago.
And now we're not.
Now you're not. That's it. That's the miracle of it. It's also a reason that various religious people become angry.
We don't have time to go into that, Andy.
Coward.
Can I just flag up the fact that when John said humans walk bipedally, Alexander's eyes lit up like, I actually don't know that one.
I have all sorts to learn about the world.
You have so much to learn.
Andy, would you like to sum up what John's told us about the theory of evolution?
The theory of evolution is something to do with a fish or slug's journey to being John or ABBA or Elton John. Its journey there is something to do with what it needs. The slug needs to not be a slug anymore. Daft Punk are slugs. ABBA are the gentleman's ABBA. Elton John is the lout's ABBA.
Thank you, Andy.
Thanks.
We're fascinated by humans and fascinated by human behavior. So we would like to know more things about the things that people do.
Okay.
Abigail, in 2 minutes, can you please explain to us what a pub quiz is? Your time starts now.
So a pub quiz is a thing that people do when they lack personality.
Like Daft Punk.
Not Daft Punk. So a pub quiz is when you go into a pub, which is a building that people commune in, and that building has Monster Munch and beer in it.
Okay.
Beer is Monster Munch that has been liquefied and fermented. And a quiz is much like you're doing right now. A quiz is when someone asks a question and other people answer it. And a pub quiz, if you're looking for a team or a person to get the most answers correct, and that person wins.
Why?
Why do they win, or why does this happen?
Why are they doing this?
What, like I said, they have little personality and they're just waiting for time to tick by before
they're waiting for the end of their life cycle.
End of their life cycle. When
is there anything that they could do to expedite the arrival of the end of their life cycle?
Oh, there's many things a person could do. You could eat bags and bags and bags of Monster Munch. You could
attend. Is that why they're having all their beers?
Yeah, you could attend school in America. You could. There's just
that extends the life cycle.
Oh no, that shortens it significantly.
We didn't really get on to why that is.
Oh, are you asking me now?
Well, I'm just asking questions.
So in America, we're all about freedom. But you can only have freedom when you're 18 years old.
Right.
So children don't have freedom.
Interesting. The Rugrats are not free.
The Rugrats are not free. And
maybe that's why Angelica's so angry.
Adult Americans sometimes get very sick.
Your time's up, thank God. Thank you, Abigail.
I'm really glad we ended that before I said something that would get my passport taken away and me cancelled on the internet.
Well, you gave us lots of really useful information there.
Yeah, thank you so much.
A pub quiz is a thing people do while they're waiting to die.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks. John.
Yes.
Please, in 2 minutes, could you explain to us what we would be doing if we were to give a humorous Father of the Bride speech?
Your time starts now.
All right. There's a ritual performed in various countries called a wedding. And that is when you take two people who have formed a chemical attachment to each other. The hormones in their bodies have decided they are sexually attracted to one another. And
what are hormones?
It's the noise your mother makes when I'm in bed with her. An oldie but a goodie is what I said about her. Anyway, I've got. Oh, don't lean on the table, John.
Who's my mother?
It's a tube, I believe. Very long, lovely tube into which some liquid was poured by a very nice man called Andy Barr, who was trying to make himself a friend.
That's my mother.
That's your mother. Your mother is a nice comedian called Andy Burr who's been mourning the death of his friend Alexander Bennett in a really unhealthy way months.
I thought my
mother... For fucking months.
I thought my mother was a tube full of liquid.
That's exactly right. A tube full of liquid that the man put his fluid in and now you're here. And that's how that works.
Right.
All the education I got about it. God, Andy's really cut up about Alex's death.
That tube makes a noise when you fuck it.
Exactly. Most tubes make a noise when you fuck it. It's sort of...
No. What is fucking it?
What is fucking it? Yeah. It's when you take your sexual organs, all right, which is to say if you just look down just above your hips there, you might see...
Just above my hip.
Yeah, above. It depends how interested in this it is. Okay. You just look down your front. You'll see what looks like a lower nose. A lower nose. Or a slug. Thank you very much. And if you pull that enough, some mold will come out of it. If it is black, then you are about to end your life cycle.
And what's a father of the bride?
The father of the bride is, is the owner of the test tube.
Andy Barr is the owner of the test tube.
Andy Barr is the owner of the test tube, but, well, the original owner of the test
tube.
Your
time's up, John. Thank you very much indeed for that information.
Might have accidentally been the most misogynist thing I've ever said. What's a father of the bride? The owner. Fuck.
Andy, would you like to sum up John's misogyny?
No.
Okay. We'll move on. Finally.
I think Abigail are even the clones racked by grief.
Yeah.
On some level.
Myself and Andy have use of the English language, but not an understanding of it.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd like to know more about how language is used. Abigail, in 2 minutes, can you please explain to us what the pot calling the kettle black means? Your time starts now.
Yeah. Do you have a concept of a pot in a kettle?
No.
So a pot is what you would cook food in, and it goes...
It's where you put your Monster Munch.
Yeah, it's where you put your Monster Munch if you don't want it in the noisy bag. A kettle is where you'd boil your water.
Why? Boil mean?
Boil means you take water and you heat it so hard it does a little dance.
You heat it so hard it does a little dance.
You heat it and it gets so warm it does a little dance, like it's listening to ABBA Voyage.
Okay.
Does everything do a little dance if you make it hot?
well, water, bacon, eggs, mostly breakfast types of foods.
What's bacon?
Bacon. Okay, you know the pigs from the Bay and the Angry Birds.
Yes.
If you want to eat them, so their life cycle has been ended abruptly.
They went still very quickly.
They went still very quickly by the hands of humans. And you want to eat the pigs. When you eat a pig, you don't call it a pig. You call it bacon. So then you don't have to think too hard about eating it. Animal, you think about the fact that you're eating bacon.
Why wouldn't you want to think about the fact you're eating a pig?
Sometimes it makes people sad. Me personally, it makes no difference.
Okay, why would it make someone sad?
Because people don't like to. Okay, so no, can't say that.
Is there anything that it would make you sad to eat?
Me personally?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, my boyfriend's cooking's pretty abysmal.
What's a boyfriend?
A boyfriend is a person.
Thank you. Your explanation there of the what the pot calling the kettle black means is it's got something to do with a pot, which is a thing that you use to make water dance in order.
That's a kettle.
Oh yeah,
that's a kettle.
Yeah, the pot is the thing that you
pot
put,
is what you put your Monster Munch in.
Yeah. Because your boyfriend can't.
Actually, that's 100% correct.
John.
Yes.
In 2 minutes, could you please explain to us the phrase, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink.
Your time starts now.
Are you familiar with the concept of a horse?
No.
No.
Okie dokie. So, you know Reptar. From the Rugrats.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right, the big dinosaur.
The big dinosaur.
Big
thing.
Scaly dinosaur, and he's got the flames coming out of him.
Yes.
Right. Yep. Well, you take away the flames,
and
you replace the scales on Reptar with a fine hair, like you might find on a wig, but cut pretty short.
Right.
And then.
Small snake.
That's right. Lots of small snakes.
But still a viable slingshot.
That's right. No slingshot this time, though. Right. Then what you do, you know how Reptar walks on his hind legs?
Mm.
You make it so he walks on all four legs.
Right.
Then you
How do you make him do this?
Usually a bit of money.
So you elevate his status to gentleman.
That's exactly right. And gentlemen mostly crawl, in my experience of them, in the small room that they pay money to enter in my home.
Is money something that the horse has desired?
Yes. However, they desire the money a lot more than they desire water. That's why, for instance, if you ever see a horse race, no one ever bets water. They bet money, because that's what the horses want.
So when the horses are racing,
yep.
Which is...
A horse race is when you get a bunch of horses together. A horse, of course, is a dinosaur that is walking on all fours, right? Moving at great speed. And the horse that goes at the greatest speed wins a lot of money.
Okay. What would a horse use money for?
Usually, just feed. You just keep your hand flat, you put the money up to it, and it just really chomps down on it. It's pretty adorable to watch.
A horse eats money.
Horses eat money. Horses have taken a lot of money from families over the years. A lot of fathers have lost everything feeding those horses that money.
Okay.
That's right. And then they couldn't feed their children, but we don't have time for that right now. The thing is, you can take a horse chock full of money over to water, but you can't make it drink. And it literally means that. You take a horse.
Your time is up. Thank you, John.
Thank you
so much.
No worries.
Andy, would you like to sum up what John has told us about you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink?
Certainly. So if Reptar in the Rugrats was to be deprived of his flames and forced to walk on four legs as opposed to two, it would then desire money, and you can take that thing to water... But it will not be interested in drinking.
No. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Andy, at the end of all of that, who do you think has provided the most satisfactory explanations?
As far as I'm concerned, both been very satisfactory. However, on account of his tone, I would discount John.
For the anger.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to disagree with you there, Andy. I feel that the anger has provided clarity in my mind.
Right.
So they're both the best.
Fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
Abigailia, thank you very much indeed.
And just never forget, Hugh Hefner is a man about to go to bed.
We will never forget. And John, thank you very much indeed.
It's been a great pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Oh, no!
Andy will be so sad.
Very still now. Oh,
I'm okay with this.
I can't believe Andy did that to himself.
You have been listening to Born Yesterday, featuring Andy Barr and me, Alexander Bennett. I created the show and Steve Pretty composed the music. If you've enjoyed the show, please tell people about it. Follow us on social media and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.